Hello, and welcome to Lecture 11. I hope you are all enjoying this series and the topics that we are exploring. Please feel free to ask any questions that you have about parenting and behavior management of children with special needs by calling in and leaving a recording of your question. I'll be happy to address them in the order that they arrive to me. Just to recap, here is the list of the 10 lectures that we've done so far. First, we talked about what comes first, behavior or emotions. Then we discussed doctor's predictions. We introduced ignore negative behaviors, INB, and separate without comment, SWC. We talked about adolescence and preemies. We discussed staying organized and consistent, and we explored sibling rivalry in children who are typically developing and in children with special needs. Then we addressed the needs of children with ADHD. Today, we are going to delve further into the first of the three phases of the Are Your Hands Full program. Phase one consists of three strategies, some of which you have heard me mention in previous lectures. The first is INB, that's ignore negative behaviors. The second is SWC, that's separate without comment. And the third is missions. During this lecture and the next one, Emetz Hashem, we will delve into these strategies with all the details using an adapted version of the recordings about these techniques that are found in the Are Your Hands Full audiobook, Volume 1. Give a listen and enjoy.
The preliminary and most important strategy in effective parenting is Ignore Negative Behaviors, or INB. Ignore Negative Behaviors, or INB, is used in conjunction with Separate Without Comment, SWC, for the first 6 weeks of this program. The following anecdote will illustrate the benefit of ignoring all negative behaviors. You were hosting important guests and had prepared an elaborate and impressive meal that concluded with a triple-layer ice cream dessert. In your effort to set up and serve the main course, you completely forgot about the dessert in the freezer and sat down to eat the main course with your guests. When the main course was finished, you returned to the kitchen and realized that the ice cream dessert was still in the freezer and would be impossible to cut. But your guests were waiting for dessert, and you didn't want to delay them unnecessarily for the extra 10 minutes that would have been needed to get the consistency just right. So you took the ice cream from the freezer and attempted to cut pieces from it. You exerted intense pressure on the knife and on the dessert, but the pieces ended up looking jagged and broken. While doing this, you made a mental note that next time you would remove the ice cream from the freezer earlier and leave it on the counter during the main course so that it would have defrosted slightly, allowing you to cut smooth, even slices easily. The Nimshel. Children's negative behaviors can be compared to the frozen ice cream dessert. These behaviors remain frozen solid because they have been consistently reinforced through negativity, which possibly includes screaming, punishing, and repeated Musser speeches. After 5 or 6 years of this reinforcement, the child's negative behaviors are frozen, solid, and tough. Parents often use strong and forceful strategies when attempting to deal with frozen behaviors, a process which produces jagged results that can harm the child, the parent, and more importantly, their relationship. On the other hand, if a parent is wise enough to allow the behaviors to defrost by leaving them alone as if to defrost on the counter, INB and SWC, the behaviors will begin to soften and melt. Then the use of proper soft-handed techniques will be effective in slicing smooth, velvety portions of acceptable behavior. The INB and the SWC phases do not last forever. Their purpose is merely to defrost the frozen behaviors. At the end of this phase, some behaviors will melt away completely and may not require any intervention at all. Other behaviors will remain, most of which defrost just enough so that they will be ready for exposure to a proper, non-negative technique to cut them away. Sometimes, while we are working on defrosting our children's negative behaviors, well-meaning friends and relatives refreeze them by giving attention to the behaviors or by telling us, while the child is within earshot, to take care of these behaviors. In such a situation, trust your own instincts and review the theory behind this technique. This will enable you to remain unfazed in the face of well-meaning yet unsolicited advice. When possible, try to respectfully discourage uninvited parenting tips from others and continue to ignore negative behaviors unless safety is compromised. Children do not have to be told in advance that you are ignoring their behaviors. They will observe that you do not react to negative behaviors, even though others do. Although this might be difficult, try to remain steadfast in your resolve to INB and SWC so that your children can benefit from the consistency required to defrost frozen behaviors. Negative behaviors refer to actions that are carried out, either intentionally or unintentionally, to irritate or cause harm to a person or damage an object in the environment. Planned ignoring is a behavior management strategy that is used to remove attention from behaviors that are challenging and that seek attention from others. It is used when the child displaying the behavior would feel rewarded even by a negative reaction. While ignoring, parents remove all attention from all negative behaviors. The personality trait that is associated with ignoring negative behaviors is best described as Midas Hishtavus from Chayvus Halavavus. The root of the word Hishtavus, Shaveh, means equal or equivalent, which refers to an individual's ability to remain unfazed or maintain equilibrium when faced with unpredictable events in the environment. Let's look at some examples from the Torah. Sara Imenu was noted for this midah when the 127 years that she lived were identified by Rashi as Shavin Litova, which indicates that she was able to maintain a consistent temperament regardless of whether she was faced with good or difficult events in her life. This is quoted in Sfas Emes HaTorah. While Yaakov was escaping from his brother Esav, the Torah uses the words Vayetze, and he left, and Vayelech, and he went, as opposed to Vayivrach, and he fled. These milder words, left and went, as opposed to a more dramatic description, fled, indicate Yaakov's ability to remain unfazed and calm during challenging and even dangerous times. This was also quoted by Sfas Emes al HaTorah. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, identified the importance of Midas Hishtavus as being critical to empowering an individual to unequivocally trust his objective sechel. Without Midas Hishtavus, our emotions can overwhelm our logic and can obscure our ability to think clearly. When parents are hampered by emotion during chinuch decisions, they are prone to make parenting mistakes. Although parenting is a highly emotional experience, one which involves the transmission of unlimited love and devotion, parents must learn to display that emotion only during positive moments and remain unfazed and neutral when negative moments occur. Ignoring negative behaviors keeps much of the verbal negativity out of chinuch. By ignoring negative behaviors and avoiding negative comments when children misbehave, we build positive relationships with them and allow them to develop healthy self-esteem. Ignoring does not provide the reaction that children crave. Children engage in negative behaviors to gain our attention. If they see that their negative behaviors are not resulting in the attention they crave, the behaviors will die of neglect, and they will opt for more appropriate, positive behaviors to gain our attention. It is crucial that parents understand the difference between ignoring the child's behaviors and ignoring the entire child. Ignoring a behavior means that you remain unfazed while the negative behaviors are taking place. It does not mean to ignore the complete child. I think I understand what this means. I was doing homework with Libby on the couch last night. There was a pile of soft-covered books beside him. In an effort to deflect the homework stress, Leiby tossed one soft-covered book off the couch each time he read a word from his homework sheet. Since there was no danger involved, I could have ignored the negative behavior completely and continued doing his homework with him as if he were sitting nicely and not throwing the books. In that case, I would not have been ignoring Leiby. I would have simply been ignoring the negative behavior. There are times when ignoring a negative behavior appears to be the same as ignoring the child. Like the time Chevy was trying to get my attention by holding onto my skirt and pulling me back each time I tried walking forward. By ignoring the behavior of pulling at my skirt, I would also be ignoring Chevy, who was trying to gain my attention in this negative way. In this case, ignoring the negative behavior comes across as ignoring the entire child, because the mother is ignoring the fact that Chevy is there. It becomes clear that she is not ignoring her, though, when Chevy interacts with her mother appropriately and her mother responds immediately. The INB technique applies to all negative behaviors, including tantrums. Although it would be ideal to ignore all negative behaviors all the time, there are times when completely ignoring a behavior is not possible. It is for this reason that we divide negative behaviors into three categories and tailor a strategy for each possible type of behavior. The following are the three categories of negative behaviors. Type A behaviors, behaviors that are attention-seeking but harmless, for example, singing loudly, dumping toys, etc. Type B behaviors, behaviors that are destructive, throwing objects, kicking walls, potentially dangerous behaviors, climbing on counters, jumping on the couch, or physically aggressive behaviors, hitting, pinching, etc. Type C behaviors are behaviors that are actually dangerous, running into the street, playing with fire, etc. Before implementing the IMB technique, analyze the type of negative behavior that is being displayed and carry out the strategy that is tailored to that form of negative behavior. If the behavior is identified as a type A behavior, ignore the behavior by maintaining neutrality and continue with what you were doing. Act as though no behavior is taking place at all. Continue to ignore all forms of type A negative behaviors for a period of 6 to 8 weeks. Use the SWC technique for type B behaviors. This strategy allows us to separate our children from negative behaviors using calm and gentle motions and mannerisms while not saying anything to them throughout the separation. Similar to ignoring, SWC effectively stops negative behaviors without negativity and without providing reinforcement. If the behavior is identified as a type B behavior and is destructive, potentially dangerous, and physically aggressive, implement SWC to stop it. Separate the child without thinking about technique for type C behaviors. If a child's behaviors become dangerous in any way, a parent may not ignore the behavior and must act right away. Whenever the safety of an individual is compromised, parents must choose the quickest way to separate that person from danger without thinking about technique. If the behavior is identified as a type C behavior and is dangerous, stop it right away, using the quickest and most efficient way of doing so. So I really could have used Plan A. When I was in the process of dressing the baby and noticed out of the corner of my eye that Mindy was emptying the entire contents of her pajama drawer onto the floor. This was clearly a type A behavior, so I should have ignored it completely, INB, and cleaned up the drawer at a later time. If I would have done that, the behavior would most probably have died of neglect, and I would have reduced the amount of times that I would have had to clean up from her mischief in the future. I should have used Plan B when Yossi was kicking wildly at the furniture and walls, and I was really nervous that he was going to ruin them. This is a classic type B behavior, and I could have silently and calmly removed his shoes from his feet, SWC, so that the walls and furniture would not have gotten damaged. I can remember a time that I should definitely have used Plan C. I was cutting an apple at the kitchen table when Libby approached me and asked for ices. "Not now, Libby," I said. "We will be eating supper in 10 minutes." "But I don't want supper," he cried. "I want ices." I finished cutting the last few slices of the apple and placed the knife down on the plate to reach for a napkin. Before I knew it, Libby grabbed the knife off the table and started running around the house with it. This behavior was most definitely a type C behavior and was not something that could be ignored. I should have run after him screaming something like, "Libby, give me that knife right now!" Then I should have grabbed the hand with the knife in it and carefully removed the knife from his grasp. I probably should have even shouted something like, "Knives are very dangerous! You may never touch any of my knives again!"
And now, let's listen to a detailed description of Separate Without Comment, SWC.
There are instances when a behavior cannot be ignored and must be addressed while the negative moment is occurring. When this takes place, parents should address the negative behavior using the Separate Without Comment, SWC, technique. SWC is used in conjunction with INB for the first 6 to 8 weeks of this program. Separate Without Comment is the strategy that allows parents to stop negative behaviors that cannot be ignored without reinforcing them. This is accomplished through a calm and gentle separation of the child from the negative behavior without using any communication, verbal or nonverbal, throughout the separation. It is instinctive for parents to tell their children what not to do. The concept of separating a child from a negative behavior without saying anything seems unnatural and possibly unproductive. Why shouldn't we simply remove children from negative behaviors while telling them not to do it again? Why must we specifically do this without words? To answer this question, try the following mental exercise. Ready? Close your eyes and imagine your biggest fantasy. Remain focused on this dream for 60 uninterrupted seconds, and it will materialize. However, during these 60 seconds, be sure not to think about a pink elephant. You can think about whatever you want, but not a pink elephant. Although the majority of us have never thought about a pink elephant before in our lives, we will be unable to refrain from thinking about the pink elephant during these 60 seconds because, once received, the human brain cannot ignore a verbal directive. The human brain translates verbal input into an image that gets stored, but which surfaces in conscious thought whenever an individual is reminded of or in close proximity to the subject of the verbal stimulus. Similarly, it follows that children have difficulty refraining from doing things that we tell them not to do. In fact, many children, after being told not to do something, will repeat the forbidden action for days and even weeks after the parent has specifically told them not to, because their brains connect to the verbal stimulus every time they see the item or the place associated with it. I know exactly what this means. In front of our house is a large open area that is covered with little pebbles. One day, while playing outside, Mindy discovered that it's a lot of fun to pick up handfuls of stones and throw them into the air. When I saw this, I immediately said, "Mindy, don't throw the rocks!" I guess that since I said that, Mindy's brain is hanging on to those words because now every time she comes out of the house and sees the rocks, she starts to throw them again. It must be that the words, "don't throw the rocks," are tiptoeing around in her brain. This unconscious thought process is ultimately fostering a powerful temptation within her to repeat the act of picking up the rocks and throwing them. Based on this phenomenon, we can understand that any verbal reaction we present to negative behaviors will reinforce those behaviors and create an innate desire within the child to repeat them. Therefore, it is important to react to low-sase behaviors non-verbally, through the use of SWC technique. This will eliminate the pink elephant and any unintentional reinforcement that results. Calmly approach the child who is performing the negative behavior. Separate the child from the behavior using calm and gentle mannerisms in the most practical way possible. So, for example, if a child reaches for a breakable vase on the table, silently remove the vase from the child's reach. If a child is coloring on the wall, gently remove the crayon from the child's hand. If a child is jumping on a table, calmly take the child off the table. Do not speak to the child at all during the separation process. Repeat the separation technique consistently until the child abandons the negative behavior. If numerous separations were performed and the child is still carrying out the behavior, perform a more permanent separation of the object or the child by placing the object out of the child's reach or moving the child to a different room. Continue to use SWC for a period of 6 to 8 weeks. Parents often do not understand how their children will learn that a behavior is wrong if they do not lecture them about its inappropriateness. Realize that normally developing children are extremely capable of absorbing information through the non-verbal cues provided in the environment. I can see that being true. During lunch this past Sunday, Yossi began tossing his macaroni across the table. I could have easily removed his bowl from the table without saying anything, and I am certain that Yossi would have figured out why. It would have been obvious to him that he was doing something wrong and that it had to do with his bowl of macaroni. He would have understood clearly that he should not have been throwing the macaroni. So when should we teach using words? It is best to sort chinuch moments into positive moments and negative moments. During positive moments, teaching should be accomplished through talking, reading, and explaining to children, which are the most effective ways to bond and interact positively with them. During negative moments, however, teaching should be done without language, but rather through the use of a calmly executed separate without comment SWC technique. If SWC is never accompanied by anger, a child will never experience anger during negative moments. SWC effectively prevents reinforcement of the negative behavior and protects the child from parents' anger at the same time. Question: my child grabbed a cookie off the counter and ate it right after I told him not to. What should I do? Answer: SWC is not possible because the cookie is already eaten. Ignore the episode and hide the cookies in a better place next time. Question: my daughter just scribbled up my dining room wall. How should I react? Answer: ignore the existing writing temporarily and separate the child from the crayons without comment. At a later time, you may clean the wall. Question: my 2-year-old continually takes off her diaper throughout the day. I can't ignore it, and SWC doesn't seem to apply. What should I do? Answer: SWC can definitely be applied to this situation. You should separate the child from his or her diaperless state without comment by simply putting a diaper back on. Question: my son takes ices whenever he wants, even though he knows that he should be asking permission first. How do I avoid this? Answer: if your child has already eaten the ices, ignore it. If you can remove the ices before or while it is being consumed, then use SWC. The freezer should subsequently be kept locked to prevent future raids. Question: my toddler started biting other children when she gets angry or if something doesn't go her way. I feel terrible when this happens, but I don't know how to stop her. Answer: biting is considered a normal behavior during toddlerhood. So for a 6-week period, separate the child after each incident. If possible, try to anticipate some pre-biting scenarios and separate the child if you see a bite waiting to happen. Question: the all-time favorite activity in my home is jumping on the couch. I know that this is potentially dangerous. How can I stop this? Answer: remove the child from the couch without comment, even if the child begins to laugh and treat it like a game. If necessary, you can perform a more final SWC by removing the child from the room where the couch is located. Question: what should I do when my child touches a toy that is mukta on Shabbos? Answer: attempt to separate the child from the toy using maneuvers that are permitted on Shabbos. If this is not possible, ignore the behavior. Most likely, the child will abandon the toy only after a few moments, which will admittedly feel like a few years. Question: my daughter colored all over my kitchen walls, so I performed the SWC technique and took the crayons away. Now it's a few days later, and I want to give her the crayons back. Should I mention the episode of coloring on the walls and warn her not to do it again? Answer: certainly not. Any reference to the undesirable behavior will create a pink elephant, and the child will subconsciously be forced to repeat the behavior. Additionally, if you ask your child to guarantee that she will not repeat this behavior, and she is unable to keep that promise, she will experience failure and inconsistency. These repeated incidents of unfulfilled promises can lead to undesirable adult behavior patterns. Question: my son was splashing all the other children in the swimming pool, so I took him out without comment. Immediately he said, okay, I won't splash anymore. Can I let him go back in the pool right away? How long do I have to wait? Answer: do not let him go back into the water right away. Wait until there is a pause in your child's requests to go back into the water, and it is evident that he accepts the fact that he needs to stay out of the pool. Then you may allow him to return to the pool as long as you were the one who initiated the permission. If you allow him to return to the pool immediately, he will think that you are not strong enough to follow through with your separation. Question: my daughter always makes a game out of SWC. Right after I separate her, she starts laughing and going back to do the behavior again. I feel so powerless when this happens. What should I do? Answer: begin with SWC as you have been doing, and when you feel as if it is starting to become a game, you should purposely distract yourself by doing something else. Continue the distracting activity. By doing so, you are enabling yourself to ignore the behavior. For example, if your child was jumping on the couch, first separate the child from the couch. After several repetitions, when you feel as if it has turned into a game, you can separate her one last time and then immediately become busy with, say, an important phone call. Once you are busy, you can ignore the behavior by acting as if you are unaware that she is still jumping. In this way, you have successfully extricated yourself from the game. If, however, there is potential danger involved, separate the child from the couch permanently by removing the child from the room where the couch is located. Question: I separated a ball from my son when he was throwing it around the house. When can I give it back to him? Answer: if the separation was done correctly and without comment, then the parent may return the item to the child whenever she feels the child is ready to receive it. Separated items should be returned to children when the episode has passed and children are no longer asking for the item to be returned. Remember, there should be no commenting during separation so that the initial negative behavior that necessitated the implementation of SWC will not be reinforced. Question: what should I do if I am in the middle of preparing supper and I realize that my son is taking out a toy in the toy room that I don't want him to have? If I perform SWC, he will surely melt into a tantrum. If I just tell him, please don't take out the toy, there is a 50% chance that he will obey me and put it back. Answer: the first problem with this scenario is that you should not be trying to avoid tantrums. Tantrums are beneficial. They provide the extremely valuable learning experience of frustration tolerance. Parenting is a noisy, busy profession. We want our children to make noise. The second problem is that the 50% risk that the child will disobey you is far too great. it is extremely important to avoid all possible episodes of disobedience. Remember that you only get 7,000 days in which to raise a child. During those days, disobedience should be kept to a minimum. It is best to stop what you are doing for a few moments and go into the toy room to separate the toy from the child without comment. Question: what should I do if I am diapering or nursing my baby and I notice my child coloring on the wall? How can I do SWC if my hands are tied? Answer: first, evaluate the situation. If the behavior is repairable and safe, it can be ignored. Let's look at an example. The baby is emptying an entire shelf of books onto the floor. Although mommy would prefer that she stop, mommy knows that the behavior is harmless and ignores it. If the behavior is causing damage and needs to be stopped, try to redirect the child by using a positive comment. Let's look at an example. Mindy is using her crayons to color on the wall while mommy is nursing the baby. In an effort to avoid the damage, mommy says, "Mindy, let's color the picture on this newspaper." Positive comments can effectively redirect the child without reinforcing any negative behaviors. In addition, they are acceptable even if the child does not obey because the mother did not actually command the child to stop coloring on the wall. If the child is engaging in a dangerous behavior, stop what you are doing and separate the child from the behavior. Let's look at an example. Libby climbed onto the kitchen table and is using it as a stage while singing his favorite school song. Mommy recognizes the danger immediately, quickly puts the baby down in a safe place, and removes Libby from the table. Over time, children will become accustomed to sharing attention with their siblings and will not suffer emotional trauma if their mother leaves them for a moment to separate another child from a dangerous behavior. Calling out a command from the couch or using verbal negativity is not a viable option because it will only serve to reinforce the negative behavior and cause it to happen again.